Well, brothers and sisters, in the interest of adhering to some of the conventions that we are used to, such as trying to be done at noon, I just have a word that the Lord has been putting on my heart, and I think I can carve out a little piece of this to help understand and be of value to us. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for every opportunity that you give us to see you and to be together. Lord, you have called us to assemble together, and Lord, it is a blessing for us to be together. We thank you, praise you for that, and we thank you, Lord, that just as you have given us your table to remember you by, Lord, we remember you in the word, we remember you in our gathering, in our praise and our worship. We thank you and praise you. In your name, amen. We've had a number of scriptures shared this morning, and they are, and Kevin's testimony was just so encouraging. And the thing that strikes me, I have been looking at Colossians, and the thing that strikes me is that, number one, I can't possibly cover this. And the Lord has, through the apostle, Apostle Paul has given us a great deal of understanding and knowledge that he has come to understand, that the Holy Spirit has given him, and he shared it with us through his word. And the thing that I want to caution to us is to realize that there are things that the apostle says that are so difficult for us to understand. They're so beyond our understanding that we could make them mythological. You know, that they're not real. I mean, not real like Kevin is sitting right there, and you know, Kevin had a testimony. He physically left and went. The Apostle Paul and the Colossians, they existed. They are real people. They had real experiences, and they had experiences together. And the other thing that immediately jumped out at me and sort of sparked this direction is in chapter 2, the first verse. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, the apostle is speaking of the Colossians, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face. Well, that includes us, but the thing that struck me here back up was Laodicea. Huh. How about that? Where else is Laodicea mentioned?
Revelation
chapter 3. And not in glowing terms. They had lost their faith. They were trusting in the riches that they had there. And the Lord Jesus loves them and cared for them, just as he did the Colossians. And the thing that I immediately began to see was, well, let me back up a minute. Maybe somebody could tell me very quickly. I didn't look it up. But I believe Colossians was probably written sometime, in like 60 AD, maybe, or 70, more or less along the time, 60. So it was before the temple was destroyed. Revelation was written after that. John was a very old man. And I believe it's like 90 AD, wasn't that? Do you recall? Yeah, some have suggested that. But later than 60, a period of time has passed. And so we see in Laodicea in Revelation something different than we see here. Here, the apostle is encouraging them. He is telling them that things that they need to know and that he wants them to know and that the Holy Spirit wants them to know. And he is telling them about the Christ. In Revelation, the Christ is telling them about themselves and how they have drifted away from what we see in Colossians. And so it's important to realize that these are real people, that and very likely someone, maybe many, don't know at Colossae who received the letter from Paul were alive and received the letter from John and the admonition that the Lord Jesus gave to them. He would have been speaking to someone who had experienced or at least been made aware of these things of Christ in Colossians, in the book of Colossians. And if you look, again, I'm going very quickly over this just to sort of set the stage. If you look in Revelation, what does the Lord say to them? Well, what's that?
They were depending on their riches.
Exactly.
I don't mean financially. Maybe I don't know. I think that they felt that they were rich in spiritual things.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe they didn't boast out loud, but.
Yeah. The heart is desperately wicked, isn't it? The Lord speaks to them, says he knows that their deeds and that they're neither hot nor cold. He wishes they were hot or cold. And he goes on and he says, because you say, and this is verse 17 of chapter 3 of Revelation, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Now, I don't know if they would have spoken that out loud, as Hope says, but that was what was in their heart that the Lord was pointing out to them. He said that, you know, you think you've accomplished something. You think you've arrived and that you have great riches. But, he says, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. That's a pretty desperate condition. And when the Lord tells you that, exactly so. This really happened. This is not just a fantasy. This is not just a story. This is not an allegory. This is history. The Lord spoke to them through the Apostle John, through this letter of Revelation that came to them, written in Revelation, from the Lord Jesus, the one who was standing in the midst of the lampstand. And so, he continues on in verse 18. The Lord Jesus says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness, might not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. I'm going to stop there, and the rest, this is a marvelous letter to this church and a loving admonition to this church from the Lord Jesus. But what does he say practically? Buy from me gold refined by fire. We spoke about that earlier, the gold of heaven. It's not the gold. This is not the gold of earth. This is not the wealth of men. This is heavenly gold. This is the Lord Jesus himself. He is, you know, you may disagree with this, but I believe the direction is correct. Is the rock on which we stand is heavenly gold. We don't see it necessarily that way. It's the Lord Jesus. Actually, if we're really standing on the rock and know we're standing on the rock, we do see it as gold. Although it's not the gold of this earth. It's not the bright, shiny stuff that people covet and kill for and cheat and lie and so forth, steal for. Buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, truly rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, to be clothed in white garments, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Because they'd lost vision. They couldn't see. They needed eye salve from the Lord Jesus. Now, what I want to say, and come back to at another time, because I'm trying to be respectful of our time. The Lord is speaking to the church, this church at Laodicea, and he is proclaiming what they need. He is telling them what they need. I advise you to buy from me gold. If you look at Colossians chapter 2 and begin to read this and study it, there is a tremendous amount of spiritual gold and clothing, garments, and eye salve to see. The Lord speaking through the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 2 that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to all the wealth, gold, heavenly gold, that comes from the full assurance of understanding in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures, gold, silver, stones, treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, he's not, this is not a parable. This is truth. This is reality. He is encouraging them to know, to realize, and to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to them. Because the Lord wants them to have these treasures. He wants them to be clothed. Goes on later, and there's more to this. In verse 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is how I'm going to finish up here, and for now. He has spoken to them, and maybe I need to say that too. Where is that? In verse 5, even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. These things that he is speaking of here, the things of the Lord Jesus, are a matter of faith. Faith that the Lord Jesus is the author of. Faith that the Lord is the finisher of. We can see him. He we can ask for, we can seek, desiring to be covered with the faith that Christ gives. The faith that says he, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. That's not just a philosophy. It's not just a good say. He's not just a good man, as the world would like to try to convince us that, or that there's something that we can live up to. We can't live up to. He is, has it all. And we can have it in him. That's what he's saying. We can have it in him. We are made, in verse 10, we are made complete. He is head. He is the head, again, by faith, over all rule and authority. And he goes on. All right, that's huge. I can't possibly put enough of an exclamation mark on that. That he is head over all rule and authority. Over everything that we see, over everything that we might be concerned about, he is the victor. He is has the authority over all things. Of his government, there will be no end. The increase of his government, there will be no end. And then one more thing in verse 11. And it is hard for us to understand, hard for me to understand, I'll call it a transaction. It's not appropriate, but that's the best I can come up with. The transaction between that which is of the Old Testament and coming into reality in the New Testament. The circumcision was Old Testament. It was part of the law. It was a removal, a cutting away of the flesh that was required for the children of God, the male children of God. Here Paul is speaking to the Colossians. Some of them, I guess, may have been Jewish, but these would be Gentiles. And he's speaking about circumcision. And again, I want to emphasize here that the Lord Jesus is doing this. We are not circumcising ourselves. We are not making ourselves better. We can't. And it's not just a theology. It's not just a point of interest or philosophy or law. A doctrine. Yes, that's a good word. What does he say here? In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Again, I don't know this is exactly what he was, that Paul would agree with my understanding here. But I believe that this circumcision is being done by Christ. He is cutting the flesh away. It's not just the circumcision of the Old Testament, the circumcision of the law. He is removing the flesh. He is cutting it away by his power, his authority, his care, his righteousness. He is able to do this. This is not just a happy thought. He is doing it. He is accomplishing his purpose and is making the way that we can enter into the relationship with him that is not based upon flesh. It is based upon faith. All right, I'm going to stop there. Probably have said enough to confuse you, or at least to stir up your thought process. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you speak to us through the gathering of believers by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you have, we are seated in heavenly places. This is not just a theory. This is truth. It is reality. We ask you, Lord, to help us to see these matters, the things that you are doing that we cannot. They are reality. They are not just a promise for the future. They are real now. It is happening. We are being circumcised, just as we have been buried in baptism in verse 12. Lord, we have been raised from the dead with you. Lord, help us to grasp these things. Help us, Lord, to realize how much you love us. Lord, give us eye salve to see that we may not think that we've arrived. Help us, Lord, that we might have the gold of heaven, not the gold of this earth. Lord, that we would have the white garments washed by your blood. Lord, it's hard for us to understand, but Lord, you can give us the assurance of faith. We pray for that. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters.